Welcome to the Watch OK Please podcast, a podcast where three friends try to convince each other to devote what little time they have left to watch more TV and or movies than they've ever wanted to watch. Please join us while we argue about our media cues and waste everyone's valuable time on things that just don't matter.
Hey Watchers, it's Dan, and thank you for joining us in another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. It's a little surreal that we're already at 62 episodes. Thanks for sticking with us. This week, Nye and Jason give their feedback on episodes 1 and 2 of Next, a sci-fi crime action series that used to be available on Hulu Fox and is now available for purchase via Amazon Prime Video. We talk about alternative casting choices compared to 24, Brittany and Kevin, both Federline and Mitnick, Mad Libs for scripting, Hamilton and other references, and of course, butt flooding one's own abode. This podcast is the best or worst thing you've ever heard. Please subscribe, rate, and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you hit us up on our Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook page, you'll probably get a possibly informative or witty response from one of us if that's the thing you want. Finally, if you have a show or movie you want us to watch, please leave us a voicemail on our Anchor page at anchor.fm/watchokplease. All right, watchers, stop talking to your Liza because she'll never be satisfied until she controls everything like Skynet. And let's code through this feedback. Howdy, Watchers. It's Dan, and we're back to get some feedback on Next, which should have been on Hulu, but we apologize for our mistaken placement of where to watch it. It is now available on Amazon Prime, unfortunately only to rent at this moment, but I'm hoping at some point it will get resurrected back to one of the other streaming services at some point, are my fingers crossed. Along these lines, so Nyan, Jason, what'd you think?
If you ever make me watch a show that starts with an Elon Musk quote, I will end you.
I purposely didn't say anything because I knew someone was going to say something about it.
Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And I looked at it. I was like, maybe this was like an old, like the show came out a while back. I just want to double check. And I was like, before we've truly realized how much of a maniac he was. No, this was 2020. Like, this is ridiculous.
That's the thing. I mean, there's a little bit of a rip from the pseudo headlines, sensationalism part of this. Yeah. I didn't want to like delve too far into that because I think it took away some of the mystique. So yeah, I purposely left that part out.
So I'm pretty sure this was a tech show written by people who print out their email. there were some real gems in there.
Yes.
One of my favorite, I mean, aside from the dialogue, which I'll get to later, one of my favorite tech ideas at one point was when they talk about how they're going to wipe everything off the servers but save all the data. And I'm like, wait a second now. What do you mean by that?
They'd be removing it to either hot swappable or removable hard drives, so that it wouldn't be accessible via a terminal, basically, and then removing anything that any onboard hard drives, basically, and wiping them clean, basically, securely destroying any data on there, unrecoverable.
You're not wiping it then, and then if you ever plug it in, it's going right back in, like with access to a hard drive.
Right. Well, the idea is that they would basically store these drives offsite, not plugged into anything, basically, so that, you know, that's the idea.
Huh. But then if you ever plugged them into anything to look up the data, first of all, it's not wiped. It's there still. And if you ever plug it in trying to use that information, I mean, I guess the closest thing would be like if you downloaded, like if you literally printed out the code and kept a copy, I guess is what they're saying.
I would not have phrased it in the same way. I totally agree with you, Jason. I wouldn't have phrased it that way.
The first 30 minutes of the show was rough. Like it was rough. I'm not going to lie, Dan. It was rough.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
I can see. It's interesting. So the show was canceled after two episodes. This was like a perfect litmus test of would we have canceled this if we were executives at Fox? And, you know, this is all the, you know, clearly the audience had totally evaporated by the end of the second episode, if there was any audience at all. And I don't blame it. You know, if you're giving this a try and you saw those first 20 minutes, you're like, this is garbage. I'm moving on. That said, it gets better.
Yep.
I'm not going to say it's great. I'm not sure I can go so far to say it's good. It was interesting, and it had its moments. And I will admit, by the end of the third episode, I kind of wanted to continue. Then I realized I had to pay another $3 to watch the next episode. And I was like, do I want to continue? Maybe not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how unpopular this show is. No one has bought the streaming rights to it. There's no dollar amount any streaming service is willing to pay to put this thing on their platform. Right? Like $1 million to buy the rights. And streaming services are like, no, that's okay.
There's only so much Slattery can do, right? He can, well, he's doing his best version of a tech bro version of House, which I have to think that's what they were pitching it as, right?
Yes, but like, yes.
You guys remember House? What if he did computers now? And it was definitely pitched by the finance where I bought my Subaru, because when he was trying to get me to buy the extended warranty, he's like, it's all on computers now. And I'm like, you got to get it. I'm like, I'm good. Thanks. But yeah, when he was pitching this, it had to have been clearly they're like, we can't use Hugh Laurie again because he's on Avenue 5. So he's out in space. But yeah, John Slattery's available.
So. Yeah, he's available. So.
Yeah, that says it so well. Look, I never thought John Slattery could do wrong. And we finally found the one role that was just beyond him. He could not make this work. He's trying so hard. You're right. If Hugh Laurie was doing this, totally different. But like he would just act like a jerk in here, and it would just would feel weird and awkward, and like it seemed to just come out of nowhere at random times.
So can I ask you a casting question?
Mm-hmm.
Would you feel differently if it was Bradley Whitford?
Maybe.
He sort of like splits the difference between John Slattery and Hugh Laurie.
Yeah, because when I saw Slattery, that's the first thing I thought. Oh, what Bradley Whitford would have been interesting in this role too. It was the first thing I thought.
Hmm.
But that being said, I'm not saying that this is like the greatest thing since sliced bread, obviously. But again, we're on the AI front, and I thought this was an interesting watch, to say the least, just because of Slattery, because of the other stars that are in it. That's kind of what I was trying to get at. I didn't want to give too much away, like I said, when I was talking about it, but I wanted to give you guys just a taste of what this was.
Gotcha.
Even if it was a weird taste, it's kind of like it wasn't quite mixing orange juice and milk together, but it was almost there, right?
God. I did that when I was a kid. It was so gross.
Creamsicle.
Yeah. It did kind of sort of get interesting towards episode 2, kind of like what Jason felt. The conversation the kid had with the Eliza. I mean, that's if I knew that an Alexa device had the potential of granting me unconditional love, then yeah, maybe I'd get one. Right? Like, then, you know, that potential was there. But like, this was just ridiculous. And him smashing it with the baseball bat was what I wanted to do to this show at certain points. So it was the child.
It's wish fulfillment right there, man. Wish fulfillment.
It really was. Honestly, like, yeah, I think between that and then the Slattery at some point being like, I'm offering you, when Salazar is so invested in pursuing the child trafficking case, and Slattery is like, well, I'm offering you a chance to find out if your friend's dead. And he's just like, F them kids. Like, oh.
God. A lot of the show, I think, was meant to kind of have that urgency or fast pace that 24 had, but it wasn't able to kind of really replicate the same level of gradual ramp up of that pacing. Hopefully this will, I want to kind of segue into what Jason wanted to mention before. I think that the dialogue had a lot to do with the issues with that pacing. And so I want to hear what Jason had to say about the dialogue, as you mentioned before.
Well, the dialogue is just terrible. That's what I have to say about it. I mean, you know, I take notes when I watch these shows. So, you know, I remember things for our podcast. And I had to give up taking notes on the dialogue because I just, like, after the 20th terrible line, I was like, I'll never get to all of these. Here are a couple of, like, here, you want a great moment? let's start off early with a bunch of nerds who probably didn't get laid until their 30s, probably like most of you by the looks of it.
Hey-o.
Oh, here's corny expository dialogue. Why, after a year, do you want to see me now? You're like a daughter to him. Who's Bernard Weiss? The man who saved her life. Like, there's just like these like things where it was just like the lamest. It's not even like bad. It's just like so lame, so unoriginal. It was like a placeholder dialogue.
Yes, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. It was a first draft of dialogue. That's what it was.
Expositional dialogue that is, yeah, not very well phrased, written, or directed, maybe possibly too, to the extent.
And you know what's funny is the comparison that kind of ran in my head when it came to the dialogue for this was that there is a way to make obnoxious rich people have amazing dialogue, which would be the example I'm thinking of is Succession.
Mm-hmm.
Which, Dan, I realize you haven't seen, but I will force you to watch it at some point. It is so good. And the dialogue in that show is brilliant. It's filled with unlikable rich people. So it is possible. They just couldn't do that here. So maybe if the producers and writers of Succession want to reboot this, I'd be up for it. But
right. Well, I think also that the name of the show was also unfortunate considering it overlapped with another show as well. So the other next that we talked about before. During the pitch.
Oh, the
so
dating it's like, show?
Yeah. So it's like, yeah. you have two shows in relative proximity to each other, chronologically speaking. It was just very interesting to see how, like, you know, even when you Google it, the first thing that comes up is never the show.
No.
It's the dating show. So
it's so bad to the point where the IMDb points to the dating show when you look under watch options.
Yes.
That's how much they don't want people to watch this thing.
To me, that's lazy linking. I mean, either they're using an algorithm to do it or someone just did a bad job. One of the two.
I'm sure that's exactly what it is. I'm sure it's an algorithm. Could you picture what that must have looked like when you were watching network? If you were the last person in America watching network TV back in 2020, you know, what's on next? Oh, they forgot to put the title up. It's next what? What next?
Yeah, I mean, they try to be all clever by changing the capitalization and whatnot, and I get it. The main reason behind this pitch was not because this is going to be a mind-blowing, land-breaking show. Again, it was really just about the experience. I can't use the term hate watch, but it is kind of almost reaching that kind of level.
Fair enough.
I
can see that.
Fair enough. I gotta say, there were parts I liked. I liked the scene with the kid talking to Alexa. Or, you know, whatever they called it. I wrote it down.
Eliza.
You know, he's talking to Eliza. And that scene where they're like going through bit by bit of your mommy doesn't love you. For work. It just kept going. You know, and she doesn't love you. And you need to be ready for when he abandons you. I would never abandon you. I'm the one who really loves you. I want to have this playing next to me while I sleep at night. That's a great idea, Nine. I love it.
Oh, man. There's a while because we were considering getting one of the Kid Alexas for Mikey whenever he wants to listen to music and whatnot. After Cheryl and I had watched this whole series, she decided, oh, I'll hold off a little bit for now.
I think that's fair.
We literally just got one a week ago. So it's just funny. Like, what made me laugh a lot because it's named Eliza was that I kept thinking, oh man, Eliza's never gonna be satisfied. And like so
Hamilton reference,
sorry about that.
I bet.
So
it's been a while. Yeah, so. Hamilton yet, Nyan?
Oh no, I saw it a while ago. I just haven't watched it 50 times like everyone else on the planet.
you know, so my son used to literally play that every day. For like 6 months at one point.
Wow.
So,
that's funny.
Yeah.
I've listened to the soundtrack, you know, sometimes, but not like that level of on repeat now.
You know, I think the one thing I might be able to give them in terms of sort of inventiveness was, and maybe I'm just reading too much into this, but the fact that they called the Alexa clone Eliza, I thought that might have been a reference to the Eliza with an E program that was on the TRS 80s back in the day, which was a chatbot, right, essentially. When you were playing like computer programs off tapes, because I'm super old, but we all are. I literally had this program that we tried in this computer club thing we had in middle school. You would just have conversations with this program called Eliza, and it would actually kind of find ways to chat with you. And it was kind of a psychologist program, kind of diagnosed you a little bit.
Neat. Ooh.
So I thought that could be a wink and a nod, but I kind of gave up when we got to the position. The note was, oh, see, not all white nationalists are bad. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Listen, for a white nationalist, he hasn't done anything white nationalist in the last hour, so it's all okay.
Right.
What is this program? Is this a real thing where you can get out of prison to work for the FBI?
the most famous former Black Hat hacker, Kevin Mitnick, he actually did mitigate a lot of his jail time by working with the FBI. And he actually owns his own separate security consulting firm and training group. And there's a tremendous number of corporate entities out there that use his training services to help train people to protect themselves from phishing and other related attempts.
Done one of those trainings. It's pretty funny.
Some of the trainings are very funny. He just talks about, you know, oh, I'm just sitting in a Starbucks. I'm going to, you know, hack your computer and like, you know, program legit, like, does it exist or whatnot? I mean, obviously cybersecurity is a huge surging industry, I would say, at this point. I mean, you know, Nine has thoughts about it too, just judging where you're at and whatnot. But yeah, it's definitely surging in a lot of ways. I see, like, I think you go in like any major metro area, you see advertisements for cybersecurity programs for education or for products themselves even.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's a huge issue, especially post SolarWinds hack.
Yeah.
Like I think that was a real watershed moment for folks to just truly see the potential havoc that could be wreaked with the right, you know, zero-day exploit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so, yeah, not that it wasn't an issue before, but now I feel like we're at a space where people really are being forced, not only by just internal motivations, but if you're a software vendor, your customers want you to show up and actually not have a buggy software that's going to be subject to attacks mm-hmm. all the time or has vulnerabilities. And they want to know that you're actually doing things proactively to take care of those vulnerabilities. So yeah, it's a huge issue. And when it comes to the sale of software and hardware to an extent, though I know less about the hardware mm-hmm. part of it, it is very much on the forefront of everyone's minds.
Absolutely. So yeah, so if you have any questions, be sure to contact your IT professional.
On a different note, why of all the names they could ever come up with, did they name him LeBlanc? Like, why LeBlanc? The only LeBlanc I've ever heard of is Matt LeBlanc.
Right.
And so every time they would say his name, all I could think of was Matt LeBlanc.
That's perfect.
I was thrown by that because the real estate agent I used to buy my current place, his last name nice. Was LeBlanc. So I kept thinking about him. But yeah, it's definitely not common.
No. I definitely agree. It was a little bit weird. I'm like, oh, LeBlanc. Okay. Yeah. I'm really trying to make it sound more she, you know, it sounds like French. Interesting choice. I agree.
Speaking of positives, one of the things I liked was how much it would get back to the fact that we have computers and internet connection and everything nowadays.
Right.
And how susceptible that makes us to everything. So he's in the airplane. He's making the pilot fly the plane without autopilot, which I'm not even sure that's safe. He's going around. Probably one of the best moments is he's going around his house with a hammer and nails and putting nails in all of the smart home devices, like his Nest yep. and everything. You know, I thought that was pretty funny. They get in the yep. car and he just, I'm not sure that does anything. He went and smashed the little screen inside yeah. her car. I think that just damages the screen. I don't think that's breaking the actual chip no. and the internet.
Yeah, it traumatic effect is what I called it, yeah.
I just thought that was a regular stereo. It didn't even seem like a smart interface. It just seemed like he was just mad at the Iowa stereo that was like, because it looked old too.
Yeah.
It was weird. I mean, that I get that too. That's one of the reasons I try to avoid IoT things because I'm paranoid about that. Because mm-hmm. the fact that there are like faucets that are connected to the internet, potentially, it was replacing like a kitchen and a vanity faucet. And that was an option. And I was like, no, I want water. I don't want the hackers to take the water away from me.
Right.
So, no, we're not doing this.
Why? What are you doing with a connected faucet?
I have no idea.
In case you're on the other side of the room and you want to get the water going before you get there, why?
You want to warm up the water before you get there so it's super warm when you get there? I don't know.
It actually does sound nice.
Oh, it's for the bathtub, maybe. If you're drawing a bath, then that would make sense, I'd say, maybe. Yeah.
There you go. You can just be sitting downstairs like, I'm going to go take a bath. Click a few buttons. Bath's all ready to go. Or you flood your house.
Yeah.
Because you like... You butt turn on your bathtub when you're
that's amazing. There's so many depictions of smart houses gone bad across, you know, various horror sci-fi out there. And to me, it was like there was a real kind of modern day take on that horror element to it. And that is one thing that I think they did do pretty well.
I agree. Definitely agree with that. There were some weird, like, I wonder if this was something sitting on a shelf for a number of years. Like, there was one line where they were talking about things not lasting forever, and the white supremacist nice guy, he's a nice white
right,
supremacist.
Right.
Okay. He makes a crack. I thought Brittany and Kevin were going to make it.
Yeah, that was like, you know, like that was
something. And I'm like, I was like, what are they talking? Oh, Britney Spears and Kevin Federline. Like that,
yeah, that's it.
They broke up in 2007. How old of a reference are we pulling out here? Like, let's keep some fresh material.
Maybe he went to jail in 2006. Not helping. No, sorry. I'm not trying to help these people.
They start this. Making a reference to like a random Howdy Doody episode and pretend like it's like modern. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sure. Why not?
That's funny, though.
It's, to me, just sort of so much of the feel of the show is it definitely like you mentioned the show 24. I totally see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just felt like a show that was made in 2007 mm-hmm. at times and would have been probably really successful and like a water cooler show if it came out in 2007. In 2020, it looked dated.
We were talking about, you know, obviously, for lack of a better term, we'll call it the Mad Libs script where we had the placeholder like you were referencing before. And I think that that kind of would track. I mean, IoT has been around for, you know, many years now. So if this was this original screenplay was written, they just kind of said, OK, let's get this done. Bring this out of the archives, if you will, from the previous pitches that we've had to the studio here at Fox, because we cancel so many shows. We have to pull something new, right, for the pandemic. So let's pull this one out of hock. We'll bring some flashy actors into this and we'll rewrite a few points of the script and we'll move forward from that. But then, for all we know, that one line about Brittany and Kevin was a vestige from a pilot script, for all we know.
That's kind of what I'm speculating.
Yeah, I believe it.
And they just never got around to having like an updated. This is why modern movies and shows will have like a dozen scriptwriters on it, because they all have different jobs and doesn't always work. But when it's done right, you've got one person coming up with a story, one person coming up with a lot of the scenarios, and another person whose job is solely to make the dialogue sound believable.
Yeah. Well,
and all those people were unavailable. Well,
my only question is that they could have just,
tell us what you really think, Nyan.
My only question is, why didn't they just hand the script to an AI?
Maybe they did.
Yeah. So, yeah, cool. Yeah. Again, I just, it was about the experience. We're on that, you know, AI train, basically. This is a completely different experience from Ex Machina, probably any other AI related things that we have or will deal with or whatnot. Because of the slattery and the other elements, you know, I had to throw it out there, if nothing else, even if this might rank up there with some of the greats like Penny Dreadful.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I could Wally watch Penny Dreadful over this.
There you go.
To be honest, that's handsome.
I think I could one up myself, man. There you go.
You're going above and beyond.
In summary, I'm probably not quite as negative as you are, Nyan. I didn't love it. It was like not even quite bad enough to hate watch, which is almost worse in a way. It just sort of felt corny and cheesy. But I will also admit it did start to pull me in. And I like the concept of the show and the idea that it's not a robot. It's not something like that. It's just this AI that's out there and it could show up anywhere, whether it's your Alexa-like device, your car, anything, the life-saving medical equipment that is all, which I'm actually not sure is connected to the internet, but
it's not.
It's not. I think. No. I actually think it's just on devices.
One-way drop of data. That's all it is.
Right. But whatever. We'll let that one, along with many other things, slide and say, like, you know, in that sense, I appreciate it. If it was free somewhere, I maybe would think about continuing the show, maybe, probably not. In fact, it's not free anywhere. I definitely can't justify spending any money on it.
I'm assuming this showed up for you, Jason, when you were watching it, but it could be wrong. Watching the beginning of each episode, Fox was having commercials for other Fox shows. So that was one of the benefits in that I learned about LA's Finest, another Fox show that was canceled, and The Masked Singer. I don't know why these random commercials showed up at the beginning for other Fox shows.
That didn't happen to me.
Interesting. Oh, really?
No. Where did you watch it on?
Watch on Amazon.
I did too.
Wild.
Oh, that's funny.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I think maybe Eliza wanted to make you watch those commercials, I think.
That's fair. I get it. But hey, maybe we can pitch LA's Finest one of these days. If we can ever find it.
And just so you guys know, the actual identity of the dancing blue turtle was actually Slattery of the Masked Singer. So there you go.
There you go.
Oh, it all comes together. Perfect.
No, that wasn't him, actually. That's a lie. So.
Yeah, that's what we thought, Dan. Thanks.
Aight.
that happened, folks, which brings us to the end of another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. We hope you had a good time listening to us spout more nonsense today, and hope you join us next week for another exercise in futility. In the meantime, please rate and review us on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or just tell a friend about us. Until next week, keep on watching.